So about 8 years ago, the swim team at the Owings Mills JCC, Owings Mills is in Northwest Baltimore County, for those of you who aren't familiar, merged with a smaller team that had been practicing at the public pools in Baltimore City. We needed a head coach. They needed a place to practice where you didn't have to bribe the lifeguards to get in. The teams were a little bit different. Our team, being in Owings Mills, you don't actually need to be Jewish to belong to the Jewish Community Center. As my bio kind of indicated, I'm not. I've worked there for about 12 years, but I was raised Baltimore Catholic, Loyola College in Georgetown. But our team was about 60%, I'll call it mixed Jews. So we had a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We had some Orthodox, we had some conservative, we had some reform, we had some secular, we had some non-attached. And because we're in Owings Mills, we had some of the other folks from the community. So some Hispanic, but overall, pretty darn white. The other team was not that. They had lots of kids who would have been on scholarships. They had kids from all sorts of areas of the world. They had a family that was from Morocco. They also had an Irish Catholic family with four kids. The second son was actually adopted, so they had two boys the same age. One was black and one was white. And it was kind of a marriage of convenience. The two groups both needed very specific things. Things worked out for practices, but the groups didn't exactly mesh. Now, around Thanksgiving of that year, the mom of the Irish Catholic family with six kids came to me and said, "It has been our team's tradition for years to hold a Christmas party. We know we can't hold a Christmas party at the JCC, but could we hold a holiday party?" And I said, "No. Actually, if we're going to do a party at the J, it's going to end up being a Hanukkah party, but that's going to be okay. Part of the reason it's going to be okay is that it's pretty clear, if you didn't know, that Jesus probably celebrated this holiday with his family in the same way that we would celebrate the 4th of July. It was a freedom holiday that would have been celebrated by them. And by the way, in the terms of the holidays that are celebrated at the JCC, not really religious. This is really very secular and more of a for fun holiday, and just tell your kids it's a cultural experience and I promise nothing bad will come to them." And she looked at my degrees from Loyola and Georgetown and figured she could trust me, and so we moved forward with that. Now, I asked our executive director, who was a like 30-something year veteran of the Jewish Community Center movement, and you know, the word mensch was made for this guy, if he would mind doing the story to explain the importance of Hanukkah in a way that these two groups could understand. And he's like, "Sure, I'm on it," because this was going to be the first time that these two groups were going to be together in a kind of social for fun setting, and I really needed them to click together. And the plan was working like clockwork until noon of the day of the party. And noon of the day of the party, news broke that a couple of Orthodox Jewish men, young men who belonged to the neighborhood watch in Park Heights, had beaten a young African-American man, kind of breaking all the rules of God and Neighborhood Watch. And my director, who was a social worker of the very old school, had immediately jumped into action. And if by noon the news was out, by 2 o'clock he had contacted the mayor, the police force. By 3 o'clock he had contacted almost every single religious leader that was available anywhere in that area, and tried to get everybody together at our Park Heights facility that evening so that we could head off further violence. Which meant that about 5 o'clock, with 1 hour to go, he came to Catholic boy Bill and said, "You're going to have to explain what Hanukkah is about to everybody."
Oh,
So I did what every coach does. When you don't completely know the answer, I asked the kids. So I turned to some of our experienced younger kids, and I said to them, okay, we have folks here at the party who don't know the story of Hanukkah, so could you tell them the story of Hanukkah? But what I want you to do, the younger ones, I want you to focus on the little kid version of Hanukkah, which has to do with the eight nights kind of thing. And so they get up and they explain, well, we're going to try to rededicate the temple, but there's only enough oil for one night, but the oil lasts for eight nights, and it's a miracle, and we all celebrate. And I'm like, great, got it. Everybody understands? So what does it have to do with swimming? I'll tell you what it has to do with swimming. What it has to do with swimming is that what everybody thought is that by using some of the energy, by using some of the oil, they were just going to deplete it. But the reality of it was that by going back day after day and doing what it was that they were supposed to do, the energy actually didn't go down. The amount of potential to do stuff actually went up. And it's the same way with you and what you're doing in swimming. Hanukkah is the official swim team holiday because every time you get in the water and you do a little bit of practice and you do a little bit more, your 25s become 50s, your 50s become 100s, your 100s become 200s, and eventually you're swimming miles. And the other thing that makes our team unique and makes our team great is the fact that you know that when you're doing one of those really difficult races and you feel like there can't possibly be enough power to get you through, the special sauce that the JCC team has is that we know for sure that if you ask, there will be enough energy there to get you through. So then I turned to the older kids and I said, okay, same thing. We have a lot of parents and we have a lot of your peers here. Now what I want you to do is explain to them the real story. The real story of Hanukkah. Now, by the way, for those of you who do not know the full story of Hanukkah, you might want to go check 1st and 2nd Maccabees in a Catholic Bible. There is atrocities, there is murder, there is some rape, there is probably genocidal violence in there on both sides. It's like Game of Thrones, you'll love it. But perhaps not the best bet for an ecumenical gathering of a lot of different people, at least the way to start. And I'm like, short version, explain the story. And they say, okay, evil Greek king says people can't practice their religion. People fight back. They win back the right to do it. And now we're into the story with the 8 days and the lamp. What does that have to do with swimming? And they look at me, because they got the first part, but they have no idea how this is going to match. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with swimming, and it has everything to do with swimming. I want you to look around this room and see all of the people who are here with you tonight. The gathering that we have here tonight could not possibly happen most places on the earth. Most places on the earth, there is so much discord between people, frequently because of religious tensions and things like that, that you who just fasted for Ramadan could not be sitting next to and sharing a table with your friend from Beth Tefillah. And the Catholic kids could not be sitting with the Orthodox kids. In most places in the world, this could not happen. This would not happen. So how did this happen? The way this happened is that about 200 years ago, when our founding fathers were putting together the major documents for the country, they were well-versed in that story I just told you to go read. And they knew about the violence that could happen when an oppressive government tries to force its particular brand of the truth onto all of the citizens. They know the violence that can come from that government, and they know the violence that can come from the response to that. In fact, they said that they wanted to avoid the constant conflict and bloodshed that has soaked the soil of Europe for centuries. And that's what gave us the First Amendment. So what does that have to do with us today? Because 2,000 years ago, some people fought for freedom. 200 years ago, our other people who fought for freedom for us here created the situation that means that we're able to sit in peace together today. So somehow I managed to pull out of that and get into something that was a little more fun. We eventually got to the latkes, the stuffed donuts, and the dreidels. And we actually created a separate new game of dreidels where you spun two dreidels, and depending on how many dreidels, it was kind of like dreidel craps where you got different amounts of... It's a good game. You know, where you got different amounts of gelt. And somewhere in the middle of all of the overload from the sugar and the oil and the donuts and the everything else, the second youngest of the 10 kids from the Irish Catholic family, with like gelt all over his face and everything else, kid looks like a cross between a Weasley and a Botticelli painting, right? But ends up yelling, "This is the best holiday ever!" If you were the parent of a Jewish child, I can kind of assure you that that is not a situation, that is not a feeling that your child generally gets. When the Christmas music starts at 12:01 on November 1st, and every place you go is decked in bows in green and red, and everything in the world has Santa or elves or something like this bedecked and bedazzled on it, that is not the feeling that your kid generally gets. At that moment, I was actually terrified because I did not know what the reaction from the parents was going to be. And I looked over at some of the Jewish parents, and the reaction actually gave me more reason to feel terrified because they looked stricken. And time slowed. And it was only after a couple of seconds that I realized that it was about the fact that they'd never had that opportunity to have someone say that they enjoyed their holiday, that their Christian friends had never told them how much they enjoyed their holiday, and we had managed to give them a gift that their child would remember for a long time. Now, I would love to tell you that as of that night, we healed the world, and that hatred and division vanished from the earth as if this was a Hallmark movie. It didn't. But some things did happen. Between then and the next meet, which was kind of like the day after New Year's Eve, it was like the 2nd of January, apparently there had been a bunch of different sleepovers with the kids from the different teams. And some of the kids on my old team, now one team, had gone back into the pile of their old clothes and had found some of the old, but clean and in good shape, team t-shirts, the old warm-ups and everything else that they traded with their new friends from the other team. So that by the time we got to that next meet at the very first weekend of January, everybody had stuff that meant that they were part of one team. We did not solve the world, but a couple years later, some of the Jewish kids, even though there was a championship coming up, fasted with the kids who practice Islam during Ramadan. And the following year, Ramadan happened to fall at the same time that rockets were falling on our sister city Ashkelon in Israel. And they had been, our team had been watching the kids from the team in Ashkelon and following their progress, and they were getting ready for nationals, and all of a sudden those kids all lost out on their opportunity for nationals. And some of the kids who were fasting for Ramadan said to their groups, "I am fasting so that God will protect my friends in Israel." We did not heal the world that night. But as the rabbi, Lord Jonathan Sacks, said, your faith is not my faith, and my faith is not your faith. But if we are both free to light a candle, then perhaps the joint brightness will help dispel the darkness. Thank you.